This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Around the suhoor time in England last night, which was just early morning time in India, we received the news of the passing of one of the most prominent and very academic scholars of the Indian subcontinent. He was, at his passing, he was the teacher and the sheikh of Sahih al-Bukhari in Darul Uloom Deoband, which is the greatest seminary and the largest seminary in the Indian subcontinent. And subhanAllah, I just want to just discuss a few things about him, just so that, since he's just passed away, I mean, he's passed away 25th of Ramadan, according to India time, according to India dates of Ramadan. So that's already, mashallah, very honorable to start with. But when a person dies, there's always, the more we can do for them, the better. So the idea is that you understand who this person is, and of course the loss, because whenever you have a person of great knowledge and so on, right, depart this world, that means a deprivation, because the question that arises is that, is there going to be somebody else to fill their place, right? Everybody's going to die, so we understand that. Everybody's going to die. So one thing is like, okay, he's old, now he's going to die. He did die at an old age, but at the end of the day, this is definitely a deprivation for a lot of people because of the amount of inspiration that he had provided. I mean, me personally speaking, I would say that I've kind of known about him for the at least 30 years. And the reason for that is the masjid I later became imam at, he used to actually come there for many, many Ramadans. He came there for many Ramadans. From India, he would come for the whole Ramadan. And lots of people would go from various different, come from various different places to come and listen to his lectures. So I didn't obviously understand much at that time. I knew about him and knew he was a great scholar, whatever. I didn't really get to sit with him much until obviously much later. So just a few things about him. I mean, he's originally from the northern part of Gujarat, kind of more further north from a lot of the Gujaratis in the UK or in the West in general, from a place called Palanpur. That's where he's from, as far as I know, from a religious family. And then he studied locally first and then in other places. And then eventually he became a teacher at one of the famous seminaries of Gujarat in Randir. And I think he taught there for about 10 years. Now, during that time, I think he's a man of huge strengths, academic strengths, right? He's not scared of anything. He's takes everything by the neck, and he tries to deal with complicated matters. So that must have been noticeable and quite clear from a young age, from the time he was teaching. So I remember him telling us, I think it was either last year or the year before, that he was actually invited to teach at Nadwatul Ulama, right? And that in itself is a big thing, because you have to remember both Nadwa and some of the biggest madrasas, Nadwa and Darul Uloom Deoband, Saharanpur, they're all in UP. Some are in Eastern UP and some are in Western UP. And the UPs, I mean, they consider themselves to be kind of the holders of the knowledge, holders of the whole academic aspect, because that's where the big madrasas are, that's where the whole freedom fighting, most of the great Akabir came from. So that's understandable, you know, Haji Imdadullah, Qasim Nanotwi, Rashid Ahmed Gangohi, Khalil Ahmed Sahranpuri, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, all of them, they all came from, you know, within several miles to one another, mostly from that side. And then you had Nadwa on the other side with Shah Ahmed Shaheed and a lot of others. So there's a huge history down there, right? Not to say there isn't history in other parts of the country, there's a huge history, but in terms of the more recent academic excellence, it's there, right? So for him to be invited there, that's already a big thing, but he didn't go. There were several reasons he said he didn't go. And then after that, he was invited by, I think it was Maulana Manzoor Nu'mani, to, I think it was Sheikh Abul Hassan who invited him to Nadwa, but then from Maulana Manzoor Nu'mani, he actually made mashura with him, and then he went to Darul Uloom Deoband. Now, for a Gujarati to be accepted in Darul Uloom Deoband, right, is not that easy, and especially in those days, it's not that easy. And the reason is that UP had many of the students, and UP had students from all over the place. I mean, these madrasas had students from Bengal, Bihar, Gujarat, Tamil Nadu, and all these other various different states. And they had, I would say that maybe some people would argue that maybe they had a bit of a superiority complex because of being the guardians of the deen in that area. So many people would not stand a chance down there. Obviously, many people have gone through the so-called ceiling and become very prominent teachers there, both from Bihar and other places as well. Now, for a Gujarati, I mean, Gujaratis are respected because they generally have the money and they do a lot of the donation, right, in India. So they're generally respected anyway. So they're not looked down upon entirely like that by anybody anyway, right? But for them, from an academic perspective, for somebody to excel like that, Maulana Mufti Sahib is Mufti Saeed Palanpuri. He gets a position there. Now, he's got a huge challenge. And I remember once he told us, this was a few years ago he mentioned this. He said that when he first went to Deoband, for him to establish himself as somebody serious and somebody to, you know, that they to take seriously and not just like a guy from another state, right, who somehow got a job here, to prove his point, he said he started working on a very complicated book. Right, and it's by one of the biggest philosophers called Maulana Qasim Nanu. He's also actually the founder, one of the founding members of Darul Uloom Deoband. Right, he was a very intellectual, right, huge philosopher. Really complicated some of his work. So it's called Abi Hayat. The whole discussion is about the life of the Prophet ﷺ in the grave, or lives of prophets in the grave. It's a very complicated book. The way he explains it, using the examples and the parallels and resemblance and the metaphors and things like that. So it's something which many people fail, would find it quite a task to read through and understand and comprehend. So Mufti Panamiri said that he started working on either a commentary or translation or something like that. He says, "I did that riya'an." I still remember his words. He said, "I did that riya'an." Right, I did that just to show people that I'm serious, right? That they to take me seriously. But you know what? He didn't have to worry too much, because I remember the first time I visited Darul Uloom Deoband was, I think, in 1992. Right, I'd gone to study 1 year in Tarkeswar in Gujarat, and I took a trip to Darul Uloom Deoband. And I remember after discussing with the students there, they basically said that the lesson that everybody attends, because remember, Darul Uloom Deoband has thousands of students. Now it's got even more than it had in those days. It's like a university setting where there's no register for class, as in smaller seminaries. We have registers, so you better be in class, otherwise you get in trouble. There, it's you want to study, you study, right? Yes, if you do certain things wrong, they have certain disciplinary measures, but otherwise there's no force. There's nobody's going to force you to come into class, right? Generally, at least in the top level, because there's, I think at that time there were several hundred people, a few hundred people in Dawratul Hadith in the Bukhari class. Right, in the last year, the graduation year. Now I think there's a few thousand. So I still remember the class that would be full to the brim, everybody would attend just because they wanted to, was the lesson of Sunan al-Tirmidhi, which is what Mufti Panampuri taught for many, many years. So in that class, everybody would attend. Many of the other classes, sometimes, you know, they would be missing students, but that one, everybody attended. Why? Why did they attend his classes? What's going on? What is it about this man? I've observed him quite closely, because I've had quite a few, alhamdulillah, I've been honored to have quite a few discussions. He had a bit of a liking for me, I would say, alhamdulillah, right? Especially later on, and so on. He's told me off as well. I remember once he told me off. I went from several years after that first incident, I was in Saharanpur, and this was in 1999. And I went from Saharanpur to visit him, and I was told that by his son that you could go and try to see him. But he told me off. Why did you come at a time when, can you not see that sign? And I hadn't seen the sign, right? So I did get a bit upset and everything like that. But alhamdulillah, all of that, you know, just, you can't, this is a huge individual. This is a huge individual. And it was right that I had gone at a time when it was not visitation time. And anybody who's productive has times. So thereafter that, whenever he would come in England, I would meet him. Whenever I would go to the fiqh seminar and he would attend, mashallah, he'd always give me some time, alhamdulillah. So what was about him is that he was very bold, very intellectual, and he did not shy away from difficult tasks and difficult topics. He would literally go after difficult topics. That's why one very complex work that we have, right, is the Hujjatullah al-Baligha, right, which is basically the book by Shah Waliullah, one of the spiritual and academic forefathers of the education and the scholarship of the Indian subcontinent. So he's written a several volume commentary of in English. We're actually covering this book right now with a small group of ulama, and you know, his, mashallah, his edition is probably the best edition out there. Otherwise, the edition is very, because it's a very complicated book to start with, and he, mashallah, he's gone very far to basically unraveling it, explaining its difficulties and so on. He's got numerous books to his name. He's got tafsirs to his name, hadith commentaries, other small things. He's written books on mantiq. He's written books on hikmah, on philosophy, right? You know, to dumb it down for students. So what is the secret? Why would students attend his class, right? And why would so many... So those were scholars, right? And in England, when he would come, there would be so many people that would attend his classes. This would be both ulama and non-ulama, non-scholars. Why? Because he would... And this is one of my greatest admirations for him. He would take the most complicated topic, dumb it down, right, in a way that was palatable, comprehensible for the layman, and he would explain it. He would not be frightened about that. Lots of others, they don't deal with sensitive topics. He would deal with sensitive topics. Yes, sometimes he did cause controversy by that. He would deal with numerous topics, especially against bid'at and so on. Sometimes he was, you know, very vocal about these things, and you know, he could ruffle feathers with some of these things. But mashallah, the amount of contribution that he has provided, where he takes the most... Even I remember once I sat in a Bukhari dars of his, just a few years ago, right? And it's a very simple dars. He didn't... The complicated stuff he would just make easy, right? He just had his style. You know, he had a style of what you would call... a huge clarity of mind, very clear thought process, able to distinguish things, categorize things. He had a beautiful taxonomy. He would, you know, really understand typology very well, how to separate things out and say, okay, this fits here. He would be able to just unravel things and take them into their component, break them down into their components and then explain it like that way to make it very easy to understand. I think that's why, that's one of the reasons why the scholars and the students would really love him. So, Alhamdulillah, I think the last time that I met him once was in the last year. This year, unfortunately, the program was cancelled, the fiqh seminar, so I wasn't able to see him this year. But the one before that, I met him, and then after that, in last Ramadan, in Masjid Quba in Stamford Hill. So before I left Australia, I went to visit him, and Alhamdulillah, he had just completed with somebody else working on, again, Bayanul Quran of Hakim Ummat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani, is supposed to be an amazing tafsir, short, relatively short, like shorter than Ma'riful Quran, etc., full of just amazing subtleties from various different subjects, about tasawwuf and Quranic tafsir anecdotes and things like that. Not very easy to read in some cases. So with somebody else, Maulana Mufti Saeed has just released the first volume last year. I don't know if a subsequent volume has come out. So he gifted me the first volume of Asan Bayanul Quran, where he's kind of, the language has made it easier for people to be able to benefit from the wisdoms of Hakim Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani. So as I said, he would take complicated matters and he would deal with them, and there's not too many ulamas that do that. And I think that's probably where he was in terms... I remember once in Ramadan, I said to him, can I study a book by you? Because this is a wonderful opportunity. I was an imam in that masjid at that time. So he says, no. He says, the Ramadan is the time for the Quran. And he says, I'm a kacha hafiz, which basically means that my memorization of the Quran is not very strong. So I have to do a lot of effort for it in Ramadan, right? So that's why, no, I'm not going to teach you. I'm just going to do this, and we can have a majlis. You can ask me any question you want. He loved questions. He loved to sit and discuss things. So I think it was generally after Dhuhr, and there was, mashallah, lots of local ulama that would benefit from him like that. Lots of other people that would benefit from him like that. So a lot of wonderful anecdotes, because his reading was quite far. His understanding of the manhaj and just basically where things were going was quite good as well. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward him immensely. And inshallah, he's left behind a lot of students, right? All the graduates, the thousands of graduates who loved him, you know, every year that would graduate from there. And then the people that he infused around the world with inspiration, and all the books that he's left behind. Mashallah, definitely somebody who's going to go down into history, somebody who lots of biographies are going to be written about. And just please pray for him and for his family. And pray that we can also follow in the wonderful work and the footsteps, the wonderful footsteps that he led. And mashallah, the death in Ramadan as well is a wonderful thing. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept him and excel him and raise his status in the hereafter as well. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.